A huge thank you to Ahrefs for sponsoring the full second season of Work in SEO podcast. Ahrefs is an all-in-one SEO toolset with free and reliable learning materials. Junior marketer, SEO expert, you'll find Ahrefs toolsets powerful yet easy to master. As a beginner, you can learn how to perform many SEO tasks thanks to Ahrefs YouTube videos, beginner's guides, and blog. By the way, do you know that Ahrefs is hiring? Do check their open positions on ahrefs.com/jobs. Hello everyone, it's Isaline and I'm thrilled to record another episode of Work in SEO podcast, a podcast where we explore the diversity of career path and we interview amazing people to learn from them and help you find your way in your SEO career. I'm Isaline Mühlhauser, SEO nerd and content strategist, founder of the SEO consultancy Pilea.ch. Today, I am joined by the brilliant Nerissa Marbury. Nerissa is founder and president of One Epiphany LLC, a digital marketing and operations consulting company. Nerissa helps clients amplify and share their message so they can connect with their ideal clients and grow their business. It is a very impressive career because she has 20 years of digital strategy and operation experience. So this is a real honor to have her today in the podcast. Hi, Nerissa, and welcome.
Hello, Islan. It is such an honor and pleasure to be here today and be a guest on your show.
And maybe a little bit of history for the people who don't know us yet. We have been exchanging messages and emails during about a year or even more. And that's one of the extra reasons I'm happy to have you today, because I remember the first time I interacted with you, I was such a beginner as a company founder. It was the beginning of my company. I was very unsure of myself, but you just sort of embraced me and asked me questions, and you really treated me like an equal, and it was really good. It was a really good feeling for me. And so thank you for that, by the way. It was great. So today I'm hoping that we can share a little bit of this feeling with the audience.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that with me. I didn't realize. And what I will say, just as far as one of the reasons for that, is if you're a founder, a business owner, a CEO, a president, whatever title you decide to choose to give yourself, whether you're a solopreneur, or someone who's running an enterprise, you are a peer if you're a business owner, if you're a C-level person. So yes, I would absolutely treat you as a peer.
A huge thank you to Ahrefs for sponsoring the full second season of Work in SEO podcast. Ahrefs is an all-in-one SEO toolset with free and reliable learning materials. Junior marketer, SEO expert, you'll find Ahrefs toolsets powerful yet easy to master. As a beginner, you can learn how to perform many SEO tasks thanks to Ahrefs YouTube videos, beginner's guides, and blog. By the way, do you know that Ahrefs is hiring? Do check their open positions on ahrefs.com/jobs. So can we rewind a bit and can you tell our audience an overview of what you do today currently and why you started One Epiphany? What's happened then?
One Epiphany has evolved over the years. We started off in 2010. As I tell so many people, I was a reluctant entrepreneur in 2010. So it wasn't the plan or the expectations that I would have started One Epiphany. But during that time, there was an economic downfall within the US. I know other parts of the world were impacted as well. However, I had learned that the hardest thing you could ever do was start your own business. And things were pretty hard at that point because I had graduated with my master's in creative brand management in 2009. And for the first time ever, I couldn't find a job. And so I started One Epiphany in January 2010 just because I had more time than money and anything else. And I was just going like, it's a little pet project. I've been doing these freelance things. So fast forward, it wasn't until 2013 that I really decided to see if I put my mind to it and really put effort into the business, how far I could take it. And I've been riding that wave ever since. So in 2013, unlike in 2010, I was focused on brand marketing. In 2013, I shifted to digital marketing. And at the end of 2019, going into 2020, I was looking to evolve the business again, where we would focus on a niche industry that followed one of my personal passions, because I wanted to integrate my personal passion more into my business, and that's tourism and hospitality. Well, the whole world knows what happened in 2020, a global pandemic. So at least my desire to go full steam ahead into the tourism and hospitality industry as having that be my company's core niche didn't quite work out as well as I would have liked. And so instead, I started thinking about the services that One Epiphany has offered over the years and which ones we really enjoyed, which ones we do well, and which ones we wanted to do more of. So although One Epiphany does, we can do a little bit of everything when it comes to digital marketing, our core focus from a service side of things is search engine optimization, which that's how we started talking, email marketing and automation, marketing operations, which does include project management, and then, of course, all of these aspects require some level of strategy, and we always provide strategy to our clients.
And when you say that's where a reluctant company founder, what exactly did you fear or what did you envision that you wouldn't like in being a company owner?
Well, this goes back to when I was in grade school, where I did envision myself owning a company. I wanted to be a business person since sixth grade. That was how I defined. I want to be a business person. And then by time I was in college, I knew that I wanted to acquire a company that, you know, was having some challenges and be able to turn it around successfully and run it very well. So I always saw myself buying an existing company and going from there versus starting a company from scratch. And so that's why I was saying I was reluctant because it was not on my radar whatsoever to start something from scratch. But as I have been saying, probably since then, life happens. And that's when you need to take advantage or at least figure out how you can pivot in order to make things work better for you.
I hear that, in fact, you had this leader and, you know, this feeling already that you wanted to run your company. And so you had this motivation, even though, as you said, it was not founding, starting from scratch, but still being that person. What skills do you think served you in this role? Did you have them already, or it was more a process of developing skills?
I think it's a combination of the two. You won't ever have everything. And at least for myself, I enjoy learning. So I want to ever say that even for an area that I'm very good at, that there isn't something I still can't learn. As far as like skills for being a business owner, you definitely need flexibility. I believe you do need attention to detail. And if you personally do not have it, that's when you need to hire someone who does, because I think it's really that important, because there's a variety of details that you don't think about when you're an employee. In the US, we call it W-2, is the tax form that you get. And then when you're not someone's employee, it's a 1099. So I'm kind of like, when you're a W-2. So when you're an employee, you're typically just focused on your specific responsibilities for that specific role within that specific company. However, when you're a business owner, you have different constituents, different stakeholders, different clients, externally as well as internally, and you have to be able to manage it all. You're also wearing different hats at different stages of your business. So I am a proud micro business. And with that, I end up wearing more hats than, let's say, the CEO of a very large company would be wearing. But with that, I'm able to more directly speak to the pain points and the problems that other business owners or business leaders that are running mid-size or maybe slightly smaller companies, but also understand the pain points that come with enterprise-sized companies as well. So I think that's definitely an advantage to where I can be nimble, meaning my company can be nimble and deliver on what's needed. And I feel that I'm going a little bit off your question, but to go back to the skill sets, it's really just being willing to take a risk on yourself and being confident in your ability to deliver on it.
Oh, this is so well said. And I also really liked how you said that attention to detail was a useful skill, because so far I never considered that it was a skill. I thought it was something that takes time when you see everything and you want all of the details covered. So it kind of feels good to know that it's a skill. And yeah, we can own it because it's actually super useful.
Absolutely.
I find really impressive, as I have my company for only 2 years so far, I find really impressive the 10, now nearly 11 years. And I'm like, wow, but so much must have happened. Can you recall like the challenges, of course, the pandemic, but and the change of directions, but what else did you face that you were like, I didn't expect that?
I'm not sure if it's a challenge or not, but the transitions that I made within the company, and then also I call it training a client. It may not sound the best in those terms, but I feel it's really important to train your clients to interact with your business in the way that you would like for them to engage with you. And just to elaborate with that, one of the challenges, and you may have already experienced this yourself, is because you're a smaller size business, people don't necessarily consider you a business. This is where in the very beginning, after 2013, when I was going like, let me really focus on this and see how far I can take it, because I never tried before then. Some of my first engagements were with big advertising agencies when they were outsourcing to One Epiphany. And I started feeling, oh, they're seeing me as an employee. I'm not an employee. And it was, okay, well, what can I do to make that shift so that no one mistakes One Epiphany as it's just Nerissa Marbury and Nerissa's just a freelancer, when that's not the case? I'm the owner and president of this company, and you just happened to hire me to work on this project for you. And that was one of the challenges or the mindsets to really make certain that people saw One Epiphany and continue to see One Epiphany as a business and not just as an individual doing work. Yes, I am the face, and yes, I do manage my social media platforms because I do believe that there's a human behind every brand, and for One Epiphany, it's me. However, there's so many other people, team members, strategic partners that I work with behind the scenes so that we can deliver on the variety of client needs that require different skill sets, and which really allows One Epiphany to be nimble and be able to scale, and in some cases, downsize our team depending on the need of the client. So one of the challenges was just having other businesses see One Epiphany as a business and not just as an individual. Another challenge would be just the balance. One of the perks of having your own business and one of the reasons why I thoroughly enjoy being an owner or running One Epiphany, I'm very excited about it, is the freedom that it gives you. In 2002, I actually told someone I got laid off from one of my early jobs because of 9/11. And at that time, they're going like, Narissa, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to do what I want, when I want, and with who I want. Now, I didn't realize it was going to take me 11 years to get to that point, which brings me back to 2013 to where it was like, let me really put forth this effort. But One Epiphany gives me the freedom to work on the type of projects that I want to work on, to work with the type of clients I want to work with, and also gives me the flexibility to work where I want to work and when I want to work there. Because I'm not sure about other businesses or even yours, Islin. However, One Epiphany, when I started it in 2010, not knowing where it was going to take me, I purposely arranged it so that it was a virtual office from day one, because I knew that my own personal feelings about being within a structured environment, having to go to a brick and mortar office day in, day out, really didn't fit me. And I'm the type of leader who I don't believe in telling people to do things or asking people to do things that I wouldn't do myself. So if I knew from day one, oh, I'm not going to be going to an office every day, I wouldn't be able to, in my right mind, ask my team members to do that. And I knew I wasn't going to be there.
I love what you said, because you touched two very important subjects as a company owner, which is the client relationship mm-hmm. and the balance, like when do I work and what is work and what is not work, because sometimes it kind of mixes. And to go back on the first subject, can you give me an example of actions or a process that you have implemented in your relation with the client? Maybe at the beginning of a relationship, to show them, you know, to position yourself as a company?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, first and foremost, because some people don't do it or they do it in the very bare minimum way, contracts. Contracts are extremely important. It's not necessarily for when things go well. A contract is for the unexpected negative aspects of business. Thankfully, I only have a couple of those situations out of the 11 years, but contracts are definitely important. So from that, it's having a master service agreement as well as a statement of work. The master services agreement has my legalese, the template boilerplate type contract language that is consistent across any client that One Epiphany engages with. And it's very similar to what you will see with larger companies. I felt that that was really important because the companies that I engage with are a variety of sizes. And I wanted them to say, oh, she actually this is something I'm familiar with seeing. And so that's one aspect. And then the statement of work is probably typical to most people's statement of work. So I really won't go into that. However, I have interacted with different companies because sometimes I'm the client, One Epiphany is the client, and I do take note of how they present themselves contractually. And, you know, it's just a little bit interesting. So I would say for me, it's starting with the contract. It's also providing the client in personable ways. You know, you don't have to be mean about it, but setting your limitations, because you had mentioned earlier about those boundaries and getting the balance. And this is where, as anyone who's running their own company knows, you work outside the typical work hours. But this is where I prefer to use those non-traditional work hour times for One Epiphany, for Narissa's professional development, versus having to work on paid client work outside those hours. Now, if I choose to do that, that's one thing. But there's sometimes clients think that because you're smaller, that I don't know if this is the right word or phrase, but I feel as if they believe you should be accessible to them at all times, because it's like, oh, well, it's, you have the flexibility. You can talk to me at 7 o'clock in the evening. No, I'm not available. And it's also like responding to emails. Even if I'm reading emails, scheduling an email is your friend. So this is where you can read it, you can respond to it, but schedule it so that it sends to your client during your typical business hours, so that there's no misconception that you're available during those off hours. And just to give you an example, one client during the early part of our engagement, he was going like, oh, just to let you know, I don't sleep well, so I'm typically up. So you can write me at any time of the day. I'll most likely respond. I'm here for you. And I was going like, oh, that is such a good thing to hear. I so appreciate that. But I just want to let you know, I do sleep. And so you won't be hearing from me outside of typical hours, unless there's a real emergency. So that was my like friendly way of just saying, hey, I'm happy to know if I need you, I can reach you. And unless it's an emergency, you shouldn't expect me to reach you outside of those hours, because I try to respect those non-working hours, whether it's a client, whether it's a team member, and definitely if it's myself as well.
I hear it's really about setting healthy work relationship, about having boundaries and contracts, and also telling what's our favorite way of communicating. For instance, I'm also a big fan of scheduling email, and I never answer work-related questions on something like WhatsApp. I always, like, even though they would send me something, I would answer per email just to let them know, to transfer the information on a channel that I feel comfortable with.
Smart person. I absolutely agree. And I do things similarly. One of my pet peeves is people who want to do business via text message. And it's like my business number by chance does allow for texting. However, I don't typically check it. So if someone sends me a text, it might not be responded to right away. And when I do identify it, I definitely try to transfer them over to email, because it's traditional business format. I guess I'm old school from that side of things. But also on a personal level, I'm not really big into texting individuals personally. I would prefer to pick up a telephone and have a conversation, or if time doesn't permit, let's put it in writing and see if we can get on a call later on.
And you mentioned about how you organize your work. I'm very curious to know, how can I last 10 years? Because I've been there like 2 years, and I can see that the rhythm I'm having now, it's okay. And I really love what I do, but I can't imagine doing that for 10 years. What's your secret? Like, how do you stop your mind and just your computer and, well, you know, just to refresh and reset sometimes?
You have to know your why behind your business. And it goes back to my earlier comment about freedom. And this is where also I've been challenged over the last 11 years of finding that right balance. Because at one point it was like, oh, the reason why I have one epiphany is to give me the freedom to do what I want. And I don't want to work a full 40-hour work week. But then I really wasn't doing enough because there was like, okay, I'm doing the paid client work, but then I start slacking on biz dev or business development. And then there was a time when I just focused so much on work and just having my head in a computer to where it was, okay, I'm a self-declared workaholic. I thoroughly enjoy working most times. But at the same time, I thoroughly enjoy experiences that live outside of my profession. And so with that, it was like just trying to find that balance. Part of it is determining how many hours you will dedicate to paid clients, and then how many hours you want to have for your company. That's one of the things that I've been doing in recent years to make certain that I'm giving my company what is needed, because I don't know if you're like me, but I thoroughly love helping my clients and seeing them succeed. And I'm one of their biggest cheerleaders, but at times is at the detriment of my own business, because I would prefer to do client work than to work on one epiphany initiatives and responsibilities. And so with that, I've had to say, all right, this amount of time can go towards client stuff, but I also need to dedicate to my own business if I'm wanting to evolve. And this just goes back to how for One Epiphany over the years, we've made tweaks and alterations. And I would say we've had our own forms of evolution over the years. And this is part of that in the most recent evolution. I'm actually tracking my time more so that I can see for sure how much time I'm giving to other initiatives versus One Epiphany, and I can hold myself accountable that way. So it's really, it's a challenge. There is no magic pill, but I would say just trying to allocate and be as best you can for determining how much time you're going to put for paid clients, how much time you're going to put for your own business. And one thing that I did not mention that I do want to bring up as well is to pay attention to your mental state, to what your body is saying, because your brain and your body will speak volumes. Having your own business, if I want to take a nap, I can take a nap during the day. You know, so it's one of those things where it's being mindful of that, because you cannot be productive, you cannot be efficient, and you will not be able to succeed as quickly as you like if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're mentally drained, if you're stressed. So that's where, like, just taking those breaks, even if you're saying, oh, I don't have time for a break. I tell everybody who tells me that, you have 5 minutes. If you had time to talk to me right now, you have 5 minutes for yourself. And then you just build it up from there to where it's like, okay, it's 10. Okay, it's 15. Okay, I'm doing a whole day to where I'm going to do whatever I want to do, whether that's sleep, whether that's going on a nature walk, whether that's going to your favorite restaurant and trying new things on the menu. You have to find things that really bring you joy, because that's the only way you will be a good leader to your team, as well as a good person to those that you love.
I love your advices, and I'm going to try to follow more of them, especially when you say, well, to know how much time to dedicate to the company, because that's, at least in my case, that's very often that I didn't plan enough time to do that. And then, well, I spend my whole weekend doing invoices, for instance. So I really like this idea of planning and, of course, tracking the time, not only the time for paid work, but also the time for company's work. And I see that we've already talked a lot and you've given us so much already. Can you tell us, what do you see next for Nerissa? I mean, for yourself.
Oh, wow. What do I see next for me? Great things. Actually, this is where I was about to start talking about things I'm doing for One Epiphany, but you said for Nerissa, so I'm taking that as me personally. I am looking forward to emerging back into the world. The reason why I say that is because typically one of the first questions people ask me is, where are you? Because I could be a little bit of everywhere within 1 month or within, I guess, an entire year. And so it goes back to what I was saying, my personal passion is travel. I really like exploring, introducing myself and learning about cultures that are different than my own. I think that having that understanding makes a person help make the world a better place, because the similarities across nationalities and cultures are really more alike than different, at least based on my personal travel experience. And so for Nerissa, it's travel. It's having more opportunities to join podcasts like yours, to be able to get on stage and speak about my business, about the industry, marketing, or what have you, and about some of my personal beliefs and perspectives. I'm definitely doing more talking or speaking engagements, and I'm looking forward to being invited to more.
And what about One Epiphany?
For One Epiphany, this is where we are looking for opportunities to work with destination marketing organizations, as well as moving into, I've been calling it SBA-related organizations. So because we're a U.S.-based business, for those of you who aren't aware of SBA, it's a Small Business Administration here within the United States. And One Epiphany and myself, over the years, have been big supporters of entrepreneurs, startups, businesses of all sizes, and I'm wanting to help support the organizations that support these businesses. So, for example, One Epiphany is working on building up its relationship with the Small Business Development Center within the state of Michigan, which is one of those SBA-related type entities. We're working with innovation centers in order to help support different phase companies with their marketing. And those innovation centers are typically funded with SBA funds. And really just trying to identify ways that we can continue to build our team, expand internationally, because we have had international clients, but we definitely want more, and to be able to assist them in marketing to other Americans if the U.S. market is where they're trying to be.
And where can people, if they have further questions or if they want to get in touch, where are you? What's your favorite platform or channel?
Well, across all social media platforms, you can find me at One Epiphany, same as my company name. I'm typically very active on LinkedIn as well as Twitter. You can find me on Facebook and IG, but if you want to have a conversation with me, then I would say Twitter and LinkedIn are your best bets. And my website, you can check us out at one-epiphany.com, learn more about the company, our services. And if you're interested in having a conversation or doing business with myself or One Epiphany, let me know. We're here to help.
Thank you so much for participating to the podcast. And I totally second what you said, because I've been following you. So I recommend everyone to follow you on Twitter and LinkedIn. I really like what I read from you. So go and follow.
Thank you.
And that's it for today for this Work in SEO podcast. Of course, you find the podcast on all your traditional podcast platforms. We are also on Twitter. That's handle Work in SEO, pretty easy to find. Please do send me some feedback or some questions. If you have some, I'm happy to either answer or transfer them to someone who'd be able to answer you properly. And that was a beautiful podcast. I'm really happy I got a chance to talk to you, Nerissa, and I'm hoping to see you at more conferences then.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that as well as we start traveling more in the near future.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for following us. That was Work in SEO podcast, and see you next time.